Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
There's nothing controversial on this album.
Hey, everybody. It is Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this Friday episode of our show. It's the final day of our track-by-track countdown with the band Total Strangers. We have gone through each track on their album, Watching the Sun Go Out, or we will. Today will be the final walkthrough of the final three songs. Thank you once again for Mike Wagner and Jim Petrillo, EPJ, coming on our show and talking so thoughtfully about all the hard work they did in this excellent record. And I just want to remind everybody that the deadline for your May new music is June 17th. You want to get in those picks by June 17th. You can create a voice file and email it to rocketsuburbspod.com, or you can call our suburban party line 612-440-1984. So, without further ado, let us get into the final part of our conversation with the Total Strangers. We are going to start talking here about the song Color Schemes. So let's roll the tape.
Let's talk about the track Color Schemes. Now, we mentioned earlier in the week, kind of the origins of everything, the Hootenanny and stuff, and we heard EPJ do a lot of singing. And he would occasionally hit falsetto. You know, he'd go up there and sing falsetto. So when I first heard this song, I was like, wow, he's really getting up there with his falsetto.
Every day I wait for words that no one say. Hear the silence walking by. Every night I try to sleep with open eyes, never know when it's your time.
You know where was a sign? Where are the gods to you?
And then I realized, wait a minute, I don't think that's him. So this one actually has Justice Fuller, who came into our orbit as friends of Frank Muffin, the great Frank Muffin. And talk about her vocals on this and kind of her approach and how it fit this song.
First off, I'm eternally grateful that she agreed to sing this one, because this was the hardest song to write. Basically, from Watermarks through the end of the album, the specter of racism that this society deals with is also in this album, and the notion of color schemes. We almost call it the album Color Schemes, because that's just like how we talk about, like, there's like all these sort of racist things that are said all the time, and they're done like very subtly, and that's why I came up with Color Schemes. And going back to Watermarks, where it talks about color scheme privilege that's brand on the skin, and then there's also the notion of color scheme that's brought up in Split Screen,
right?
And then if you'll notice that Justice sings the choruses, the outro choruses of Split Screen, because we wanted it to lead into Color Schemes, which she knew she just had to sing Color Schemes, because it is about somebody, you know, a person of color saying, like, you know, why is your life worth more than mine? I mean, it's pretty blunt, you know, and the way she did it, and you know, and at the end of the song where she just takes off, it's just like,
yeah,
you know, I told her, like, if these words don't work, you tell me and we won't do it. And she's like, no, this is perfect. And we did it and she nails it. And so that makes me so happy. Well, not happy in a way that's like, she has to sing it, but I mean, it really speaks to how I feel, like people I know causing that sort of pain for people like her who piss me off.
Right, because I don't know if you mentioned Split Screen is about, you know, there's easy choices to make, and people are just like, no, black and white is gray. I don't really need to make a choice. And so it's just really important to have somebody come in first. Like, it's more directly first person, I think, than Comeback John. It's like from Justice's point of view, it's like the most personal. It's like, it's more of like, it's a plea for, like, what are we going to do? You know, what's going on here?
Right? Why do we have to hurt this person? It's really simple. You know, right. We all know the answer. It's not, I mean, it's like, I say this all the time. There's nothing controversial on this album. Not a thing. Which is probably the most stunning thing about it. But we, right? I mean, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm not purposely, it's not like, you know, like, I'm not trying to be in your face. I'm just like, look, these are the facts. Right?
Yep.
And I expect you to do the right thing. I expect it. This is not difficult.
And I wanted to say, musically, one of my favorite albums of all time is the Afghan Whigs Gentleman album. Mm. And there's a song at one point late in the album where just his friend, who's a female vocalist, sings. And for years, I'd be like, why is that there? But it really grew on me over the years. And I love that, like, there's a different, because Justice is all over the album, to be honest. But, like, for her to take the reins, it's just, it felt so cool to have, like, you know, her to take the reins on that song. And, you know, just musically to have her have the lead vocals on that song is so cool.
Just a word about her performance and how great it is. And if you take the, please, you know, if you listen to it, I would be honored. But you notice how it starts really subtly.
Yes.
Right? You know, just very... You know, every night, that's the way she sings it is just like, and then it kind of builds.
Yeah.
And then it's like you get to the end and she takes off like only someone of Justice caliber can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not easy to do. You know, that sounds like is that thing. The great ones make it look easy, you know, and that's not easy to do. And it just, I'm not saying it because of me. I'm saying it because of Justice. That's a stunning vocal piece.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the same way Nikolas totally captures the end of Comeback John. I think Justice captures really a lot about what we're talking about here at the end of Color Schemes. And I felt it was really important to have that in there, because I think this is the cause of so much hassle, and why we can't get past this is a source of never-ending irritation.
No, absolutely. And the lyrics certainly make that clear. I mean, there's those two stanzas that are just filled with questions, you know, that are being asked is very powerful. It really is. As we get down to the end, we're down to the last two. Now, these are the two longest songs on the record. Right next to you is the penultimate track. Starts off from Somewhere the Money is Laying on the Line, and the call that you hear is coming from inside. I love those four opening lines to the song. Really good, really good.
Somewhere the money is laying on the line, and the call that you hear is coming from inside. Where you go to from here leaves the past behind.
Joe!
I love it too.
What else stands out?
Sorry, I was just thinking of that part of the song. Like, that's very cool.
actually, this was a when EPJ was here, we sort of knew we had. By the time EPJ got here, I had Justice's vocals for Color Schemes, and we knew this one had to be a really strong song.
Mm-hmm.
And EPJ gets a writing credit on this one too, and Split Screens, because we talked a lot about the lyrics, and so Right Next to You is really about how people like to make things like it's far away, and it's like, I don't have a responsibility for it. And the reality is like, it's right next to you. It's mm-hmm. right next to you. When you go to the grocery store, it's right next to you. When you go to work, it's right next to you everywhere. And quit pretending like it's like some faraway thing. And also, your actions matter, right? So that's kind of the driving force of the song. And
it's... You can't blame it on your wife.
Right.
Subtle.
You gotta start wait. Some response.
Subtle. That's a joke that we have.
Right. Whenever I get too pedantic, Mike's like subtle. So.
but if we could just talk about like the opening riff's kind of cool. And like, I worked really hard to get that to sound really good. I got multiple different guitars. Again, it's like, there's never more than two guitars at one time, but it's like, they're different sounding. So the album, so things don't sound the same over and over. The chorus kind of sums up some more feelings about, we're so scared to take the measure. We're just too freaking afraid to say what's obvious. And it just drives me up. And EPJ going back to like where we started, it's like, APJ believes the same things. It's like, we're so scared to take the measure, right? That's what that's about. And it's right, you know, whatever. And it's right next to you, right? And that's really, but the other thing I think is important is that EPJ's vocals are fantastic on this song.
Yeah.
Especially the bits where, and we really, I don't know if you remember this, EPJ, but like just getting that all the skies are not blue. Like getting that just kind of lay, it's kind of an awkward, if you listen to it, it's really kind of an awkward line, but I just love I love the notion of like, everybody wants to sort of say, oh, it's all right, all this, and we're like, no, all the skies are not blue, right?
But you mean specifically the timing, all the skies. Right, like 365, duh, like it's, sometimes you're just working on the syllables. Yeah, because Split Screen and like Right Next to You and Margins, I think lyrically, were the last ones on the album to really get finished. So
okay.
That's why we worked on those more together. A lot of the other songs were really like more finished in his brain earlier.
Interesting.
So
okay.
That's some of the songs later in the album we came to later, but.
Well, no less an authority than Liam McIndoe, who we all know is really heavily into music, picked this one as his favorite so far on the album.
Yeah.
So you got to give that some credence for sure.
Thanks, Liam. We appreciate it.
He's got great taste. He really does. So that's cool. And I'm with him on that one. I love love the riff.
And again, the bass and drums really make the song. I don't know why I wanted it, but I knew I wanted like a little bit of an outro, like to let it kind of grow. I don't know where that came from, to be honest with. I just thought that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So,
okay.
I hadn't sang it in a while, so I was trying to think. Yeah, that's my favorite one to sing too, I think. Like that's the range I'm comfortable with. Right. Like down more there, gritty. Like, hey, yeah. Right.
It all comes together on that one for sure. So we should mention, as we come to the last song, when you go on to Bandcamp here, there's another Total Strangers album. It came out in 2011 called Lost in the Crowd. And Mike, talk just really briefly about, you know, how that one came about and how you kind of, how does that, I mean, if people are like totally here and loving it, you know, how does Lost in a Crowd relate to Watching the Sun Go Out, if it does at all?
It does.
Or maybe it totally exists. I don't know, in a different
way. No, it's weird. It's really, really weird. So I mean, Lost in the Crowd I wrote when I was much, much younger. I was, you know, in my early 20s when I wrote that. Not in my early 20s anymore. I kind of look at it, I'm like, that's not bad. It's actually more of a cautionary tale. And I never intended there for it to be a part two. I mean, you know, clearly when I released that in 2011, I couldn't fathom what was coming. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
It is a cautionary tale about how people like to abdicate responsibility by using things like TV and sex and religion and whatever, drugs, alcohol, whatever, to sort of say, well, that's not my business, which is so weird because this is kind of like, that's the cautionary tale. It's like, holy crap, now we're living through it.
Yeah,
you know?
Interesting.
So,
uh-huh.
I mean, if it's the same idea, I think the songs, you know, I think because, I don't know why, I just feel like the songs on this one are stronger. There's some really good riffs. I mean, I wish somebody would do Won't Hurt at All. Like, if it's a hit, I didn't know how to record things as well back then. I don't think it sounds as good. It doesn't sound bad, but I wasn't as good at it. But it's still a really, I think it's a really good album. And I don't know if you remember this, way, way back when you guys used it for promo bits.
I do.
I took off all the lyrics and you would talk about, if you go and you listen to EPJ's first episode as EPJ, there's a little break and you're playing one of the songs off there and you're doing a little promo bit. So everybody.
That's funny. That is so funny. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So
that is wild.
I mean, I think it's a really good album. I really like it.
Yeah.
Please listen to that one too.
I agree too. I think folks should go out there. Hey, yeah, it's name your own price on Bandcamp. You can't beat that, folks. Come on.
And also, unfortunately, we're never probably ever going to get to play it live with a full band. And
unless it just explodes in like Belgium and then like.
There you go. So
Tim Hoffman's going to Japan later this year. So we're anticipating,
big.
So somebody calling us, the promoter calling us, like, you got to get a band together and go to Japan. So,
reminiscent of a certain movie where they get back together at the end.
This next one is the first song. It's called Watermarks.
we're absolutely thrilled if people, I mean, if you want to buy it on Bandcamp, fine. It's there for name your price, so don't feel obliged. Yeah. And it's on all the streaming services. Please stream it. We're happy when people stream it. We really just want people to listen to it and have it. I mean, it's how these are the album. I mean, you know, sort of that thing where you sort of make things for, you know, some artists just sort of make things for themselves, for lack of a better term. You know, I want it to be part of somebody's life, like the albums that I love are part of my life.
Yeah,
do you know what
sure.
I mean? That's really the goal. You know, we're not going to get rich. We're not going to change. It's not going to change our lives, but we do feel very, very strongly about the quality of the material. I mean, yeah, we sort of don't really have a band, but this means a lot to us. This means a lot to us. We thought about this for a long, long time. We worked on this, and unfortunately we couldn't move faster because of various and sundry life events that happened along the way.
Of course, yeah.
But it means everything to us. Again, there's 60,000 songs released every day on Spotify, so our chances of breaking through are slim to none. But if people hear it and people like it, all we ask is that you share it with a friend. That's our take on it.
Yeah, that's certainly an admirable pursuit and a fair question to the listener. So hopefully everyone listening to this podcast is going to do so. Now, we come to the last track, Margins.
You press your love. push comes to shove, in parting ways, knows by my goal, collect along the way. News travels slow, but not away. The story's told by moving frames. No skies unknown, the dust remains. A gathered storm, narrow escape.
Song. Did you have in mind, as you said, you had the opening track in mind as the first track. Do you have, was this always going to be the last song?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And actually, it's kind of funny. I thought at one point this album would be about the financial crisis. Like I would just make it like an allegory about the financial crisis from the 2008. Mm. And for a long time, I had the title of the song being Margin Call.
Oh. Okay.
Because of the relationship would have been like, you know, when you're so in debt made a bad bet and you don't have any money, and then they're like, hey, you got to pay up. You know, that's kind of was the original idea. And then when we really started writing the album, like EPJ said, the last three songs, the lyrics were actually the last three to get done. And this one was like, I turned it into Margins because it, to follow Right Next to You, because like everything you do matters. Don't think that something doesn't matter, and don't excuse yourself from doing something because you don't think it will matter. There's a book out by Brian Klass. I don't know if anybody follows him or reads him, but it's kind of, you know what chaos theory is, right? Like the butterfly flaps its wing and hurricane happens in the Gulf. You can be the one to break the chain. And there's a line in this song, and the most meaningful line is, it wasn't much and everything. And that's really the guts of what the song is about. And also how, like, to change, history changes on, like, very, very small things. It's not like these huge Titanic events that change history. There's, like, you know, a couple things here, a couple things there. We live in a different world. I mean, like, think about COVID. Somebody handles COVID correctly, we're not all in our houses for a year and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really, and everything sort of adds up. It's a mosaic. Where we're living is not a collection of one or two people making these huge things, which is kind of like what I don't like about when people write about these, like, well, there's the man's kind of keeping you down. It's like, wait a minute. You know, it's like, I can look around and find tons of people that could make a difference. They just choose not to. I.e. watch, and we include Watching the Sun Goes Out in here because we like to have, there's a line, the sun on the break before the guitar, on the sort of the middle eight before the guitar break, we did use the line Watching the Sun Go Out.
Yes.
And we purposely put it at towards the end. So
beautiful. Now this one has a lot of collaborators. Mike Snyder, Tim Hoffman, Brittany Reese are all on vocals, and somebody named Andy Dubuck playing on the bass guitar on this song. I don't know who that is.
He was a very questionable character. I had him in my house regretting that decision on a daily basis.
May take you, yeah. It'll come back to haunt you.
No, he actually, he was great. He helped me out on the bass on that. So it was fantastic.
Because, of course, Andy Dubuque.
Like,
was he loan? Was he on loan from Sloat? Is that how you do it?
He was, yeah.
Like in football?
I think it was on the slide.
Season loan. Yeah. Okay. No, like, he told us about it. He was really trying his best, you know, to do as good as he could. And he was like, it's a challenge, but I think I got something. What do you guys think? And yeah, it really was cool. I like what he came up with. He's brilliant at that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's really good. I love the sound of this song. It's really nice and a beautiful closer to a beautiful album. You guys worked so hard, and you know, we kind of heard about it peripherally as it was taking place, little rumors here and there, little mentions, and it was very exciting when it finally came out and was done. And I think Jim and I, we probably feel proud of it too.
And if we could take the time, I mean, and I've said this every time somebody asks me about it, it's like, it would not be around without you two guys. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You played a large role. I mean, during the pandemic, everybody having that Friday night was like, it was so much fun, right? I mean, I'm happy to be home all the time. It's like,
me too.
I don't need to go anywhere. Like, but having to have Friday night and like, you know, and oftentimes EPJ and I would work up a song, and now one of my best friends in the world, Mike Snyder, we work together all the time. And
yeah, that's very true.
I mean, Mike had
never sung probably at all up until that.
No, we hadn't. Yeah, so. You know, he sort of the same thing. He called me and he would be like, hey, do you mind if, you know, like, of course I'd be happy to do it. What are you talking about? And he's, you know, he's just fantastic. And he means so much to me personally. He's one of the best people I've ever met in my life. And, you know, and my life is, I could say my life is completely different because of you guys. I mean, it's like, that's not an exaggeration. I mean, I literally I mean, one of the things that made it easy for me to move from Houston to here, even though my daughter was already here, was to, like, I move in and I have, like, this huge social circle. You know, I can't go to all the shows you guys go to. That's ridiculous. So what I do is I just wait for Phil Ingrassia to buy tickets, and then he doesn't use them, and I just pick his up.
Well, and it's a good time to, like, not only thank you guys, but, like, the radio station that you created, too, where a lot of these songs I've heard on various radio shows on the station. So, and to have, I talked about the confidence that the community gave me, like the confidence that the community gave us to have a sounding board over the last few years to, like, do some of these songs in their gestation period and, like, to get the feedback immediately and to have people pick it for best songs. And then what you were mentioning about the last song, Margins, it's like, I know you love a good Phil Collins reference on every episode. So, you know, his third solo album where it's another close-up of his face, but he's orange.
Right.
The last track is Take Me Home, and it's just classic 80s gang vocals, like 100 people in the room. You know, so I love how the whole community shows up at the end, you know, singing those big choruses. So I love that end of the album. And I love you guys for, like, bringing, because as much as they talk about the evils of social media, like, I love how you don't have to leave the home. You can listen to the radio station every day. You can listen to the podcast every day. And you have a community of friends you can just talk to online. So you're safe at home now.
Yeah, that's true in that sense. Yeah. There's never any jacket required, folks, in our podcast.
Good bye.
Thank you very much.
Our next effort is going to be a collection of Phil Collins covers, and we'll be back to do a track by track on that. So that'll be a glorious day.
Well, no, maybe we should end.
We'll not be doing it.
Well, maybe we should end on. And thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you.
Maybe we should end on what's next. Is it an album of love songs? Just total love songs, Mike. That's what I want you to write.
I will be singing. We will be doing the cover of "You Don't Bring Me Flowers." And okay. No, but remember, EPJ did that on the Hootenanny.
I do. Yeah.
Yep, that was great. So we actually do have a collection of songs. I mean, you know how it is. You're always sort of collecting stuff, and some is better than others.
Yeah.
And actually, I spent yesterday kind of going through. I finally felt like tackling it. So I went through yesterday, and I went through a lot of old things, you know, things I had sort of taped and stuff. And so we're going to go through the songs and pick one or two, and probably release a really single by the end of the year.
Right. Great. A single or two by the end of the year, and maybe a cover.
But in 2020,
great. Cover would be awesome. I would love that. Yeah.
But in 2020, we said we would have this out next year, and it was like it didn't happen. So, but
right.
now we kind of have everything more or less in place. So hopefully it'll be a little bit faster this time. So
well, we have a phrase in Wingtip Sloat. It's Wingtip Sloat time. So we don't use the regular calendar. It just takes a little longer to do everything. So.
It does. I think that's like one of the things that people are. It's weird now. Like when you look back at some bands and like. How fast they moved.
Oh, I know.
You know, because it's like, you look, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, even like a band like Pink Floyd back in the day, who was considered slow, they had one every couple of years, for Christ's sakes. You know, it's like crazy. Now it's like, I don't know why it takes so much longer now. I mean, it took me forever, you know? I mean, we did have extenuating circumstances. I mean, a couple of things came up, but.
Yeah,
but
I'm glad
you know,
brought up Floyd because there's certain touches on the album where it's got kind of like some Floydian moments. So
yeah,
it does.
I could see that for sure.
Just the bass parts, yeah.
But hopefully, well, this is out. We're really happy, and we're happy to talk about
it. Watch the sun go out. Yeah.
If anybody wants to reach out to us, you know, follow us on the media's. Facebook is kind of the one we really use. Other things, but Facebook seems to be the one it's on. If you want to follow us, please do. We would appreciate that. Please feel free to reach out to us if you have thoughts. We would love to hear them.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always get in touch with us too, and we can get the message to Mike or EPJ. So remember, rock@suburbspod.com, and we are SuburbsPod on all the social places. Jim, anything concluding thoughts wise?
I just want to point out that since we were instrumental in this whole project coming together, that when it does become a big hit in Belgium and Japan, you'll be hearing
royalties.
I knew this was coming.
You'll be hearing from the law office of William Mulligan.
And, don't scare me like that. That's Oh, that sends chills down the spine.
Bill Mulligan's at the door.
Oh shit!
Run away! Run away! Run away!
No, it's great. It's a great record. And like I said, I sort of made light at the top. Like it's so fun to see your childhood friend like doing something. But like I really feel that. Like you made this album, Jim, and it's just so exciting to me. Like this is, like you said, this is like real creative work that you can tell that, you know, you guys put a lot of effort into and,
it's a great feeling when we finally, cause it's hard to, it took a long time to finally end, like finish it. So it was hard to let it go, but now that it's out there, it got me super excited again.
That's awesome. So, good job.
It's great.
When you're doing something, like I do software for a living and there's always this thing I got the first 90% done. Now I have to do the second 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, they say the software, but it's probably true. It's probably especially true in your line of work, Jim, like editing. It's like, I wrote the story. Now I got to write the story, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like getting the first 90% is one thing, getting the second 90% is another thing. So.
Yeah. No, I feel like that comes through here. And I think that's interesting that you say that, Mike, because the hardest part of any kind of work that you care about is finishing it, right?
Like, yes,
it's,
yes.
It's the, like a lot of people, and you can tell when people do work just lazily because they get that, it's mostly done, it's fine, you know, it's good enough, whatever. But it's that getting that last 10%, like you said, is that's the hard, hard work. And
yes.
You can tell you guys put that into this. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So everybody, Total Strangers, -music.bandcamp.com is where you want to go and search for Watching the Sun Go Out. Mike, EPJ, thank you guys very much for being on the show.
Thank you guys. And
it was our pleasure.
And we really, really appreciate everything you did for us. We genuinely do.
Thank you very much. And we're
Can't thank you enough.
We're just thrilled the way it all came out. So
thanks, guys.
That is it for Total Strangers, track by track. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We will sign off now and let you guys go listen to the album.
Over and over again.
So I'm signing off. I am Patrick Foster. With me has been my co-host.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
Thank you. Mike, EPJ, thanks very much.
Yeah.
We will talk to you guys later.
Peace out. You can be the one to break the chain.